Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We suggested yesterday that every creation of God had special needs and that God had provided for those needs. Animals have needs. God has provided for their needs. But more especially, we're looking at the fact that children have needs. We notice that one of those basic needs for children is that of a security, of a stable home life. Without elaborating on that further, number two, children need the confidence of their parents. And number three, children need the companionship of their parents. Now, number four today, children need instruction from their parents. Children get their information from various sources, and on the basis of the information they're given, they'll build a life. We trust our public schools to give a general education to our children, and the schools are doing a remarkable job, and the teachers especially, under some of the difficulties in which they work. But there are at least two special areas of instruction where parents have a special responsibility, and that is in the area of sex and religion. These two areas are the most difficult of all in many ways. Because they are so difficult, many parents simply sidestep their responsibility and they leave their children pick up whatever information they may be able to come up with on their own. First, children need instruction from their parents about sex. Young people must have information on this subject and they will get it from some source. If they don't get it from the right source, they'll be forced to go to the wrong one. And some will be forced to get their information from the many magazines and pornography, which is in circulation and available so much on the Internet. Sex is treated in a vulgar, sensual level in so many ways. It's portrayed as a vulgar passion, and a distorted image will permanently damage your child. On the other hand, the child may get his information from high school or college biology course. And even here, sex is likely to be treated as a mere animal instinct. And by forcing the child to get misinformation on the subject, he may never see it in the Christian frame of reference. Whereas the Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. Hebrews 13:4. But the rest of that verse says, "But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." The child may try to get his information by experimentation. And mothers should teach their daughters about sex. Fathers should teach their sons. And it should be shown that sex is a natural and a wholesome function which has been ordained of God. And it should be pointed out that these sexual drives are strong and must be controlled according to the scriptural principles. And then second, children should receive instruction from their parents about religion. God's chosen people of the Old Testament were commanded. We read in Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 6. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be upon thy heart, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, they shall be for frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates." Now, notice the logical process to be followed in this religious instruction. To begin the process was the responsibility of the parents in the home. It was not the priest in the synagogue. And notice also that before teaching their children, they were to be sure that these words shall be on thy heart. In other words, you can't teach what you do not know. And then the teaching process itself was of an informal nature. It was not done during class periods in formal fashion. The instruction consisted of talking about the law at meals, while sitting at leisure in the house. People were to be reminded of the sacredness of the law by seeing its prominent position, written and placed in conspicuous places in the house. And this same process can be used in teaching Christianity to our children. Let's not leave it to the Sunday school teachers alone. Must not leave it to the responsibility of the elders of the church. But we must assume personal responsibility as parents to teach our children. We must study the Word of God ourselves and be sure that we have a working knowledge of the Scriptures. And then allow the principles and teachings of the Word of God to become a common practice in our house. To talk freely of the church. To talk openly about Christ. About the great principles of Christianity which are appropriate to the particular circumstance of the family at the time. To deal with what the Bible says about honesty and integrity and about rightness and what's wrong and by honoring God. Well, children have another need. Number five, children need not only instruction from their parents, but they need the example from their parents. What you are will mean more to your children than what you say. To really be an effective parent, saying and being will have to be consistent with each other. You can tell your children how important it is to be honest. But when they hear you tell how you fudged on your income tax or how you got the insurance bill padded about a claim to offset your deductible, or they hear you in some other way that's in a dishonest situation, will lose their respect both for you and for your notions of honesty. You may tell them to be truthful, but when the phone rings and you have your child tell someone that you're not at home, how effective do you think your lesson on truthfulness has been? Your child probably won't be any better than you. Wise parents take this matter of example very seriously. Well, number six. Children not only need instruction from their parents and need example from their parents, but children need discipline. Solomon wrote in Proverbs 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child. Now, just a generation or so ago, parents were being told that it was old-fashioned and foolish to spank a child or to use any form of physical discipline in the correction of children. But that theory has been abandoned, and then it resurfaces from time to time. Somewhere along the line, children have to learn to go by the rules. And the earlier they learn this lesson, the better off they're going to be. And the home is a logical place to impress upon the children the importance of following rules. But all the efforts at discipline will be in vain if the parents don't present a united front to the child. Mother and father must be agreed on the principles which are to be upheld in the home. If one parent is going to adhere to one set of standards and the other is going to hold to a conflicting standard, then consistent discipline is going to be impossible. Another of many reasons why it's best for both parents to be Christians. And while dealing with a matter of consistent discipline, let me warn against the temptation to take out one's frustrations on his children. A mother who feels bad or a father who's tired from a hard day's work may snap at a child over nothing and punish him for things which would be permitted any other time. If discipline is administered on the basis of moods, a child will never be able to understand what standard he should follow. So discipline would become meaningless. But children have a need, and they need to be disciplined. Well, number seven, children need recognition for their achievements. Parents are quick to notice and long in remembering the mistakes and the failures of their children. But a child is fortunate whose parents are as delighted with his successes and his achievements as the child's disappointments and the child's failures. We all must have praise and appreciation. The Bible speaks to honor those who are deserving of honor, where honor is needed. And that's a biblical principle which applies to the relationship of parents to their children. Then there's another need that children have, as I've listed these, number 8. Children need to be given responsibility. The Bible tells us that it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth, Lamentations 3, verse 27. Now, simply, that means that it's wise for parents to teach children a sense of responsibility. I believe this is one reason why giving allowance to children can either be effective or non-effective when there's no responsibility that goes with it. Learning how to manage money is important, and giving the children an adequate amount of money and helping him use that money wisely will help him gain a sense of responsibility. But he needs some responsibilities in the home. For a small child, it may be picking up his toys. For a slightly older child, it may be cleaning the room. Then as one gets older, other responsibilities can be given. I realize that in our day and time, in our urban society, it perhaps is a little more difficult. Having been reared on a farm, every one of us in the family had responsibilities. It wasn't easy. It wasn't hard to find a job for children, my siblings, when we were growing up. But there are responsibilities that can be found for children, and they need to be taught that responsibility. And then number 9, children need to be given a measure of freedom. Some boys and girls are literally smothered by overprotective parents. Some mothers insist on driving their children everywhere they go and don't want to turn loose of them, even when they get to be teenagers. But this matter of freedom is important to all, but especially teenagers. They're making rapid progress toward being adults. And if we do not let them exercise some initiative and some imagination to try new things from based on the instruction we've given them and the discipline and the warning, it may be that they're going to be tied forever to parents' apron strings and not be able to live a fulfilled life. Good afternoon.